Well, hello. My name is Desiree Imondesir, and this is the Desiree Show. If you are going to be hashtagging or tweeting about this particular unofficial episode, then please use the hashtag the Desiree Imondesir. For those of you who don't know, you guys can connect with me at my blog, DesireeMondesir.com. I'm also the author of Otherworldly, an in-depth study of fantastical beings, which is only available at DesireeMondesir.com. And there are plenty of other resources for you to take advantage of there as well. So welcome again to the Desiree Show. Now, this is not actually an episode. Episode 2 just went live yesterday, which was Tuesday, January 15th. 14th? I'll say 15th, okay? It went live yesterday on the 14th or 15th. And so you guys can catch that. And of course, you can watch last week's episode. But there's so much to talk about pertaining to episode 2, which is entitled Harry, Meghan, Megxit, and Marriage, that when I was recording, I was like, I only have an hour, and I was planning to fit everything into an hour, and that did not happen. So I'm going to be doing part 2 of that, which is going to be episode 3, and that is going to be released next week on the 21st, Tuesday, January 21st, so you guys can be able to catch that then. But there's so much background information, and if you're a nerd like me, if you're a history buff like me, if you're obsessed with British topics like me, or British subjects, I should say, then you will perhaps appreciate this little bonus episode that I'm doing, because I really wanted to provide some proper, context and background and commentary on the Harry and Meghan, Megxit situation, because although I used it for a springboard for episode 2 and we'll do the same in episode 3, that was not actually the focal point of those episodes, okay? So in this particular podcast, we're going to be talking about the Megxit aspect, okay? So if you have not been living under a rock, then you know that last week a very large bombshell was released, and that was the Sussexes, the Duke and Duchess of Sussex, Harry and Meghan, saying that they wanted to step down as senior royals, okay? Now, some of you may not know the difference between a senior royal and a non-senior royal. You may not understand what the difference is, but let me say it's very important to look at the situation not as an American. Now, I'm an American. I was born in Iowa. I'm about as American as they come, okay? But I've been studying the British monarchy in particular since I was about 12 years old, and I just turned 34 in November, and it's January, okay? So this has been a passion of mine. It's been a hobby of mine. When I went to college weekend at Oral Roberts University as a senior in high school, since I was already accepted as a student, I didn't go to like any of the student or the potential student events that they were hosting that weekend. I just went to classes with my cousin and got the real college student experience. But one of the things I did for fun while my cousin was otherwise occupied was I went to the library and I found the British history section, and I traced the line of succession from Alfred the Great to the current Queen Elizabeth for fun. Okay, so that's the level of nerdiness that you are dealing with. So just be prepared for that as we're listening to this particular episode, and I won't feel any kind of way if you decide all the little historical tidbits in royal commentary are not for you. I've also been studying just the royal families, because if you study Queen Victoria, then you know that she had 9 children, and those children all married into different royal houses across the continent of Europe. Okay, so I love this stuff. I eat it up. It's exciting. So definitely stay tuned and don't go away if this is up your alley, okay? So first I'm going to start by reading you guys, if you haven't already read it, or maybe you just heard about it, I want to read the official announcement from the Duke and Duchess of Sussex, okay? So they said, after many months of reflection and internal discussions, we have chosen to make a transition this year and starting to carve out a progressive new role within this institution. We intend to step back as senior members of the royal family and work to become financially independent while continuing to fully support Her Majesty the Queen. It is with your encouragement, particularly over the last few years, that we feel prepared to make this adjustment. We now plan to balance our time between the United Kingdom and North America, continuing to honor our duty to the Queen, the Commonwealth, and our patronages. This geographic balance will enable us to raise our son with an appreciation for the royal tradition into which he was born, while also providing our family with the space to focus on the next chapter, including the launch of our new charitable entity. We look forward to sharing the full details of this exciting next step in due course as we continue to collaborate with Her Majesty the Queen, the Prince of Wales, who is Prince Charles, the Duke of Cambridge, who is William, and all relevant parties. Until then, please accept our deepest thanks for your continued support. So this was a huge bombshell, okay? Like, massive, okay? Literally. So that was the official announcement. You can see it on the Sussex Royal Instagram page. My guess is that if Meghan did not completely write this herself, then she probably drafted a good deal of it, okay? So this is Buckingham Palace's response. And it says, "Today my family had very constructive discussions on the future of my grandson and his family. My family and I are entirely supportive of Harry and Meghan's desire to create a new life as a young family, although we would have preferred them to remain full-time working members of the royal family. We respect and understand their wish to live a more independent life as a family while remaining a valued part of my family." So this is not just Buckingham Palace releasing a statement. This is actually Her Majesty the Queen herself releasing a statement. And you get the air here that she's not speaking so much as a sovereign as she is a grandmother, okay? Because she is Harry's grandmother and Meghan's through marriage, okay? "Harry and Meghan have made clear that they do not want to be reliant on public funds in their new lives. It has therefore been agreed that there will be a period of transition in which the Sussexes will spend time in Canada and the UK. These are complex matters for my family to resolve, and there is some more work to be done, but I have asked for final decisions to be reached in the coming days." Senior aides reveal that, this is another statement, and it says, "Senior aides reveal that conversations about the couple's future plans and ambitions had taken place internally on, quote, all levels for several months." So that's three different statements. I'm realizing now that I actually forgot to get you guys the initial statement that was from Buckingham Palace as opposed from the Queen, even though Buckingham Palace is the representative of the Queen. Those are the offices, the administrative offices of the Queen of England. If you hear from Clarence House, that would be Prince Charles or his wife Camilla. If you hear from Kensington Palace, that would be Kate and Will. And if you hear from wherever, I guess that would be the Sussexes. So we heard from from Harry and Meghan, and their statement was very final. Their statement was, "This is what we're doing. We've had quote unquote internal discussions." And I believe that means more so between the two of them. And you could sort of paint that in different ways. But the way the surprise hit, not just the media, but the royal family. Yeah, you could tell that that was an internal discussion that they had been having as a husband and wife, as opposed to a conversation with their aides or their family members or anything of that sort, okay? Now, it wouldn't have been surprising that they weren't so much happy, you know, because I remember after baby Archie was born, Meghan made a statement, and this did break my heart, to be honest, where she was saying, you know, "I didn't think it would be easy, but I thought it would be fair. I didn't think it would be easy, but I thought it would be fair." I mean, people criticizing her for the way she holds her baby bump, people criticizing her for the way she holds her baby, people criticizing her for everything, and I'm jumping all over the place right now, but there has been an article that's been released, you've probably seen it, or maybe heard about it, that compares 20 different article titles comparing Kate Middleton to Meghan, and not just comparing Kate to Meghan, but things that they have praised the Duchess for 20 different times, you know, 20 different subjects, if you will. And then the other 20 are titles of articles that are bashing Meghan for the exact same thing that they were praising Kate Middleton for, or saying that was fashion forward if she did it or something like that. Okay. So there is definitely a media bias, and I want to emphasize a media bias. The British press does not like Meghan Markle. They do not like the Duchess of Sussex. Okay. And I don't know if that's just because it's sort of that journalistic angle where they just want a story and they don't really get one with Kate, or if it's because William is the future king of England and Harry was always sort of the playboy prince, which he did play that role very well for a very long time. You know, I don't know if they just want some drama and they're just messy like that. But they have been very biased towards Meghan. And of course you can imply the racism. Anyone who thinks racism is not involved is living under a rock. Okay. And I would also flip that. And I did actually say this while commenting on an article, I think on the Griot on Facebook, because they were making it completely about race. And I told them, I was like, if you think this is only about ethnicity or race, then you have tunnel vision, because there are multiple factors at play here. Although from a media, again, media as opposed to the royal family, from a media press paparazzi standpoint, this is largely, although not solely, about race. Meghan is black. From what I've seen of Meghan, she does not really personally identify as black, but she is black. And whether she ever wears her hair natural or not, or has a whole host of black friends, you know, I know Serena Williams is one of her really good friends, but I don't know how many other black friends she happens to have. I'm saying I don't know. I'm not really trying to insinuate anything. I'm just saying I literally don't know. Because I don't follow her like that, and I never have, to be honest. I didn't have a clue who she was before the articles and all the big-time fashion magazines came out saying she was dating Prince Harry. And I'm like, who is this chick running her mouth about her relationship with Prince Harry? Because that's not really how these things are done. And I'm getting ahead of myself. I didn't actually plan to say that, but it's true. Like, I had no idea who she was. I know she was on Suits. I never really watched Suits like that, although I am curious to watch it now. And I do like TV. I like lawyer shows. I've watched The Good Wife, you know, and I watched when they tried to do Chicago Justice as opposed to Chicago PD in Law and Med and, you know, Law and Order and stuff like that. So it's cool. I don't mind it. So I would be interested to see what her role was there. But I didn't have a clue who she was. I don't know any movies that were like a big deal that she starred in. It was like Harry was her big deal. And maybe that sounds wrong. But that's kind of how it came across to me. Like, she was just really, really, really gushing about something that I felt like the stiff British upper lip would have served her very well. And then, of course, soon after those articles came out, then it was announced that they were engaged. And it was like, okay, we can be more open now because the cat's out of the bag. You know what I mean? But it was just very showy, very un-British, and very unroyal, if you will, in that context. Okay, so again, I'm all over the place. I do have notes, I promise you. I'm just not looking at them. But let me go back through these statements. Okay, so they've been working internally, having these internal discussions to make this new progressive quote-unquote role. I always get nervous when I see that word these days, because it always has unpleasant connotations. I'll say almost always. Okay, what the public thinks is progressive versus what actually is progressive. So basically what they're doing is they're saying, we want to keep our titles as the Duke and Duchess, as Prince and Princess, but we don't want the workload. Because being a senior royal is not just a title, it is a job. Okay, you'll notice that the Queen of England said, although we would have preferred them to remain full-time working members of the royal family, when you are a senior royal, that is your job. You don't just sit around and look pretty or handsome all day. You actually have a whole host of royal duties. I saw maybe yesterday that Princess Anne, or Anne the Princess Royale, if you will, who is the sister of Prince Charles, and she was honored recently in Scotland, I believe in Aberdeen, for her charitable work and her patronages over 300 organizations, okay, including military organizations, charitable organizations, so forth and so on, most of which had to do with Scotland, but of course in the greater UK, they honored her. Can you imagine over 300 different organizations, charities, nonprofits, just whatever type of patronages that she had, 300, okay? That is literally a full-time job, okay? And she's got to be in her 60s. So this is not a light thing, Harry and Meghan stepping down, because with them, let's just say they cut their workload in half. Somebody else is going to have to pick up that work for them. Someone else is going to have to make those trips. Someone else is going to have to go check on the different charities and patronages and things that they were previously checking on or appearing at and so forth and so on, okay? Whether it was hospitals or... And they're still definitely going to do charity work, so let me be clear on that. They're actually launching their own charity organization, which they made very clear. But, you know, this is not a very good time to do this. I feel like they're focusing, I'll put it nice and say they have tunnel vision, okay? They're thinking about themselves, and they're not thinking that 2019 was ruled as the second worst year of the Queen's entire reign. And I just saw that on Instagram. I'm not a part of the family. I don't live in England. I don't live in the UK. I'm not a royal subject. I don't live in a commonwealth, okay? But I know that 2019 was listed, I forget the Latin words they use for it, but it was listed as the second worst year of her entire reign. Not because of her, not because of the Queen, Her Majesty herself, but because of drama, okay? There's the situation with Prince Andrew, Prince Charles' younger brother, who is going through a lot of drama and being attacked in the press because of his associations with Epstein, okay? Even, you know, whether he did or didn't do anything, he's being targeted like he did, okay? Personally, I doubt he did anything statutory. That's just me. I have no proof of anything. But he's being targeted because of his association with Epstein, okay? So he, not long before this announcement came out, was having to take a back seat. So he can't go about doing his duties as a senior royal like he would be normally expected to do. If you guys don't know who this is the one who is married to Fergie, okay? Sarah Duchess Ferguson of York, if you will. The redhead who is like really close friends with Princess Diana. This is her. Her daughter, Eugenie, her younger daughter, the brunette, was married last year. And then her other daughter, Beatrice, will be married this year. So that will probably be like the first good English royal news that we get in a while. Unless like Eugenie gets pregnant or something, okay? Or if Kate gets pregnant again, something like that. Or maybe Harry and Meghan, whatever. And who knows how people are going to receive that. So he's had to step back. So that's more royal duties that the rest of the family have to pick up. And then, of course, Harry and Meghan have been in and out of the media, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And I'm not even talking about just like racist stuff or just bias playing Kate and Meghan, although the media has been really playing out these feuds between Kate and Meghan, you know, but also because of her own family. You know, her father selling a letter to the tabloids, a private personal letter between the two of them. You know, so there's been a lot of drama, and a lot of that drama has been centered around Harry and Meghan in particular. Okay, so this is a really bad time for Harry and Meghan to make a decision like this. Okay, again, you have to look at this like a British citizen, like someone who's at least a part of the Commonwealth. I noticed that a lot of people are, and I say this as an American, I noticed that there are a lot of people viewing the situation like Americans. Okay, Meghan may be American, even though she's kind of an expat right now, living in Canada and the UK, even though the UK is understandable. And then you have people who are looking at this as Black people. Okay, as Americans, obviously we love our independence from England, from the British Empire, which to an extent I get, but it's not like we're fighting over that anymore. That was hundreds of years ago. As Black people, to an extent, I get it. You know, I saw an article talking about how Black Britons understand why Meghan made her decision, you know, and it's very interesting who you speak to, you know, as to what they think or who they think is behind making the decision. Personally, if you ask me, I think it's Meghan. Meghan's calling the shots. Meghan's running this, you know, and a lot of people think that. And then a lot of people are like, Harry is just protecting his family. We'll get to all of that. Let me stop rambling so I can get to some of my notes. Okay. So again, going in order. Harry and Meghan are decidedly stepping down as senior royals while maintaining their titles and some of their duties. They haven't completely thrashed out yet what that will look like. I know on Monday, earlier this week, the Queen, Prince Charles, the Duke of Cambridge, William, and Harry himself all had a meeting at Sandringham Estate to discuss these proceedings. And Meghan was supposed to phone in. I'm not sure if she actually did, but she was supposed to phone in from Canada. And then, of course, the Queen had appointed, you know, her royal aides, and I think probably the royal aides of Charles and William as well, and Harry, I'm sure, to help make this transition happen in days, not weeks. Okay, so, and I don't think that's so much the Queen is saying get out. I think it's saying I would like it to get out of the media and I would like it to move on to other subjects, you know, to shift the focus a little bit. So this means that they are going to be splitting their time or balancing their time, as Meghan said, between North America, aka Canada, and the UK. Prince Charles has indeed been wanting to slim down the monarchy, senior royals in the monarchy for some time, but this was never going to include Harry and Meghan and Archie and any other children that they have. Never. It would have been the Queen and her husband, Prince Philip, the consort. It would have included Charles and his wife, Camilla. It would have included Will and Kate, and of course their children, and then naturally Harry and Meghan and their children. So, and I would assume it would continue to include his brothers, but maybe start slimming down their children, so maybe Beatrice and Eugenie don't have to do as much, you know. Their youngest brother, Prince Anne and Andrew's youngest brother, I should say, is Prince Edward, Earl of Wessex, I believe. And he's the baby of the family. I think he's probably, how old is he? He's 55, I think. Yeah, he's 55. But he's the baby of the clan, and his kids are very young. So his daughter is 16, and she has a younger brother. So she's the baby of the group, as you can see. All of the rest of the grandchildren are much older. So I would presume that that would slim, you know, the children from the picture. So Beatrice, Eugenie, the princesses, and then Lady Louise, who's the daughter of Prince Edward, and their son, Prince Severin, or Lord Severin, would not have to be considered senior royals. Okay, that makes sense to me. There was no way Charles was going to cut out Harry from being a senior royal. Harry is seventh in line to the throne, okay? He, before the babies, the Cambridge babies came along, he was fourth in line. And then, of course, when George, he was moved to fifth. When Charlotte came along, he was moved to sixth. And now with little baby Louis, he is at number seven, okay? And then Archie would be number eight in line for the throne right now. So, that was never going to include them. So just to be clear, the line of succession is Her Majesty the Queen, Elizabeth II, Prince Charles, the Prince of Wales, William Duke of Cambridge, Prince George, Princess Charlotte, Prince Louis, and then Harry the Duke of Sussex. That is the seven we have in line for the throne right now. And then, of course, Archie after Harry. So this whole situation is technically a first time occurrence, technically, but the spirit of the situation is not new, because in 1936, King Edward the seventh, I'm sorry, the eighth, abdicated the throne of England to marry the twice divorced, Nazi sympathizing, and philandering Wallace Simpson, the American. Okay, so that was a very big deal. So this is what actually caused Queen Elizabeth to be much closer to the throne, because beforehand, I don't know what her number was. I mean, she would have technically been in line for the throne, but it wasn't like a realistic thing for her. It wasn't like she was being raised to be the heir to the throne, because she wasn't. But when Edward abdicated, he didn't have any children, and when he renounced the throne, he renounced it for himself and his descendants forever. So if he ever had a child with Wallace Simpson, which was highly unlikely at their age, that child would no longer be qualified to be royalty. Perhaps royalty, but definitely would not be qualified for the throne of England. So his younger brother, Albert, ascended the throne and became King George VI. He was the King of England during World War II. If you've seen The King's Speech, which is one of my absolute favorite movies of all time, starring Colin Firth, and I believe his name is, what is his name? I think Lionel Roach. I may have got that wrong. But definitely starring Colin Firth. That is the movie about Queen Elizabeth's father. So that, of course, put her in line as his firstborn for the throne. Okay, so that's how that happened. And this was not a pleasant situation for the family. Divorce was still very much so taboo at the time. So this was not a good situation. Okay, so people, like, having that be the most similar situation that this is compared to is not a good memory. Again, it wasn't even just Wallace Simpson who was a Nazi sympathizer, okay? It was both of them. Both of them met with Herr Hitler, okay? That's problematic. Although it has nothing to do with Meghan and Harry, I'm just saying, you don't want that to be the situation that you're compared to when you're Harry and Meghan right now, okay? So just for clarification, that is the closest situation that this particular situation is compared to. I realize Harry is seventh in line and not actually sitting on the throne or a direct heir of the throne. I also realize that he's not a Nazi sympathizer. Although Meghan is divorced, she is not twice divorced. And we have no reason to believe she is a philanderer, and thank God for that, okay? But it's just not a pleasant similarity. It's really, really not, okay? From a monarchical historical standpoint, the House of Windsor, which is the Royal House of England presently, which was formerly Saxe-Coburg-Gotha, is the most well-known royal household in the world. Okay, more famous than Sweden's royal household, which I think is like Bernadotte. I probably said that wrong. More famous than Denmark, more famous than Norway, more famous than Monaco, more famous than Belgium, the Netherlands, you know, any of these currently existing monarchies. And that's something else to consider. Some of these monarchies are no longer in existence. That's why there's such a massive population of royals or ex-royals, if you will, living in like New York. And apparently there's a very large community of them in Houston. I saw an article a couple years ago. I had no idea. So I was like, ooh, I might have to visit Houston. You got some in Hollywood, you know, but those are places where they're either like the royal family is no longer in existence. They have been exiled from their native country. Or maybe the royals you see sprinkled around America may be like the last sibling, the younger sibling that nobody really cares what they do. And that's why they're in America, or just, you know, living a different lifestyle than what is perhaps expected. You know, there was Countess Luann on The Real Housewives of New York, who was, you know, again, married to a count. She was a nurse. She's on The Real Housewives, you know, of New York. She's part of the Bravo franchise. And then there is, what is her name? Carolyn Radziwill, who her husband, I'm trying to think. Her husband was the first cousin of JFK Jr. So her very best friends died when JFK, his wife, and their friend died. I think it was his wife, Carolyn's sister. But her mother-in-law is married to French royalty. So you have all these royals, or was married, I should say. You have all these royals sprinkled throughout, okay? But the House of Windsor is the most famous royal house in the world. In the world, okay? There has been a solitary throne of England, as opposed to like multiple kings in England, since Alfred the Great in 886 AD. Okay? So that means the solitary throne of England is 1,134 years old. Okay? Giving y'all some perspective. The British House of Saxe-Coburg-Gotha, which is the former name of the House of Windsor, was in existence since 1840, when Prince Albert, the husband of Queen Victoria, married into the family. And so they took the paternal title for the household, because even though they were first cousins, they had different household names, if you will. So when Albert married Victoria, the children that they had were of Saxe-Coburg-Gotha, okay? And then the name was switched from Saxe-Coburg-Gotha, which is a German name, okay? A German branch of royalty. It was changed to Windsor, the House of Windsor, in 1917, 103 years ago, when Edward VII, who was the eldest son of Queen Victoria and Prince Albert, changed the name due to anti-German sentiments because of the Great War, aka World War I. So he removed all of the German titles, okay? So basically, Harry and Meghan are not just walking away from some random royal household, okay? They're walking away from over 1,100 years of history. They're walking away from 180 years of their particular household, okay? If you go to my stories on Instagram, I actually go into a little more depth on this, as far as the royal households and all of that. And if you look at my Instagram name, it's Desiree M. Mondesiri. You can see just this whole rundown in my highlights. Just look for the highlight that says H&M and you'll see Harry and Meghan right there. But this is a very long time. So this isn't just some family that popped up overnight, okay? So Saxe-Coburg-Gotha has been around for 180 years. House of Windsor, been around for 103 years under that name. But they are from the same family as the first Queen Elizabeth and Henry VIII, who was her father. Those were the Tudors. They are descended from the Tudors. Same throne as the Tudors. The Tudors, in turn, were related to the Plantagenets, who were the Angevin, which is from Anjou in France, okay? So because once upon a time, France and England were part of the same empire, or the part of the same country, if you will. So this is hundreds upon hundreds of years of one family, y'all. One family. Different sides of the family have switched, you know, but one family. That is what Harry and Meghan are saying. We want to keep the title, but we don't want to do the job. That's what they're walking away from, okay? So that should provide you with a little bit more context. Royal residence. This is getting into more the finances. So when the Sussexes were married, Harry and Meghan, they moved into Kensington Palace, which is where Will and Kate and their children live and some of the other royal family members. Now, they had their separate apartments or wings, if you will, within Kensington Palace. Now, naturally, once Harry got married and started his own family, they moved out. Where did they move? They moved into Frogmore Cottage, okay, which was, of course, approved by the Queen. And in order to be comfortable in the place or have it to their liking, they took 2.4 million pounds, okay, not dollars, pounds, which is almost twice what a dollar, the American dollar, is worth. 2.4 million pounds to renovate Frogmore Cottage. And let me tell you, that is not a cottage by our standards, which is expected when it is a prince and a princess, a duke and a duchess, of course, okay? But that was taxpayer funds. 2.4 million pounds, y'all, to renovate Frogmore Cottage. And now the question is, did y'all just waste 2.4 million pounds? Because if they're trying to be financially independent, okay, what happens to Frogmore Cottage that y'all just spent 2.4? I can't say it enough. 2.4 million pounds, y'all. What happens to the cottage? Because realistically, I mean, the Queen could probably say, sure, my grandson and his wife can stay there. Realistically, someone has to pay for those utilities, y'all. There would have to be a monthly rent paid because the finances that the royals receive is out of the sovereign grant. The taxpayers pay for their lifestyle, okay? So now they're saying, we don't want to receive from the grant anymore. We want to be financially independent. Okay, you don't have a job. So who's gonna pay for the cottage? I don't know if the renovations were finished or if there were others that they originally had planned, but you just changed this whole mini palace to your liking only to say, we want to be financially independent. So are you going to come up with the hundreds of thousands of dollars or millions of dollars that it's going to cost per month to live in that palace? Meghan? Harry ain't got a job like anymore, apparently, or he's resigning from most of his job, so to speak. So realistically, they're going to have to move out of Frogmore Cottage and find somewhere else to live after basically wasting $2.4 million, okay? Million pounds. 2.4 million pounds. And again, the British pound is almost twice what the American dollar is, okay? So let me put it in American terms, $4.8 million. That's crazy. I'll be conservative and say $4 million even. That's absolutely insane. If they just walk away from that because they decide they can't afford the cost, that's very wasteful, insulting. That's why I talked about counting up the cost. There's a lot of reasons I talked about that in episode 2, Harry, Meghan, Megxit, and marriage. But you really have to count up the cost because that's not the type of thing you want to be racking up. Well, we just spent 2.4 million pounds in taxpayer dollars and we don't feel like living here anymore. Excuse me? You better live in this house until the wheels fall off. You better live in this house until the wallpaper falls off. Now, it wouldn't actually fall off, but you guys get my drift, okay? Marriage in preparation. So those who marry into the established royal houses, again, not one that's been disgraced or destroyed or exiled. Prince Philip was smuggled out of Greece in an orange crate as a child, okay? That was obviously a royal house that's no longer allowed in Greece, okay? And now he's married to the Queen of England, okay? So, but we're talking about an established royal house. So when you are marrying Kate, Diana, Fergie, Duchess Sophie of Wessex, or excuse me, what is her title? Countess Sophie of Sussex, any of these commoners, okay, we can include the Swedish ones, you know, the Crown Princess Victoria of Sweden married her personal trainer, Daniel, you know, Princess Madeline, her younger sister, married the American British financier, I can't remember his name, their brother, who looks like Orlando June with Orlando Bloom with a square jaw. He's just gorgeous. He married some model, some Swedish model. They all married commoners. The Queen of the Netherlands is a commoner. She's Brazilian. The Queen of or the Crown Princess of Denmark, Mary, is a commoner. A lot of these women, Queen Letizia of Spain is a commoner. She was a journalist. These are a lot of businesswomen. These are not royals. Okay, why am I saying this? Because whenever you're marrying into an established royal house, including Mette Marit of Norway, you are going to get the full rundown, okay? Your husband, or excuse me, your boyfriend, who is the prince of wherever, crown prince of wherever, is going to give you the rundown of what is expected. If you're really serious and it's not just a fling, they're going to give you the rundown of royal life, okay? And then once you're officially engaged, it now becomes the job, part of the job description of those royal aides assigned to Prince Harry, Prince Frederick of Denmark, you know, whatever these royal princes and crown prince and king's names are, it becomes their job to get that woman or whomever it is, you know, in Princess Victoria's situation, to get her boyfriend ready, her fiance ready for what royal life is like. Why am I saying this? Because you're not going in blind. Nobody hides you under a rock and then puts a crown on your head when you get married. Meghan knew, to an extent, as much as you can, what she was getting into. She knew she was marrying into the most famous royal house in the world. She knew she was marrying the baby boy of the famous Princess Diana, who is arguably one of the most famous royals of the modern era. Okay? She knew this. It was her job. I'm sure Kate probably went out of her way to share whatever she could with her, you know, to help prepare her for that job. And especially understanding that William and Harry were very close growing up and even into adulthood. Even after William was a father, those two were like inseparable, okay? When Kate came along, they were three peas in a pod, basically inseparable. So naturally, Kate would have likely taken Meghan under her wing. William probably would have tried to help in so much as he was able to help prepare Meghan to transition from being a commoner, even though she was a celebrity. She's not of royal or noble blood. She's not, you know, Princess Di was at least a lady. Lady Diana Spencer, you know, but Meghan wasn't that. Meghan wasn't that, okay? And that leads us to our next subject, okay? Royals versus celebrities. And actually, let me make this point. One of the things you know, because this happens with all of the princesses and queens I mentioned to you, every single one of them had to give up their job. Letizia could no longer be a journalist, okay? Queen Maxima of Spain could no longer be a businesswoman. Crown Princess Mary of Denmark could no longer be a businesswoman. Merit, I don't know what her actual job was. I know once upon a time she was a waitress. I don't think she probably was waitressing when she met her current husband. But, you know, all of these women had to give up their jobs. This is not a surprise. Grace Kelly had to give up her job when she married Prince Rainier III of Monaco, okay? So historically, Hollywood celebrities do not do well marrying into royal houses. They don't do well in these positions. Grace Kelly, aka Princess Grace, was the exception. Rita Hayworth didn't do well. Anybody else who tried it, it's not usually a good marriage. And I'm using that word as a double entendre. Transitioning from celebrity to royal, because those are two separate categories. I know to the average American, or probably even to celebrities themselves because of how people treat them, they feel like celebrities are royals and royals are celebrities. They are not. Okay? You have to understand that. They are famous, but royals are not celebrities. They are an institution. Okay? The British family, royal family, nicknames themselves The Firm. Okay, I think this nickname has been going for several generations now. A firm, and I'm kind of getting ahead of myself, but I have the definition here of a firm. It is the name or title under which a company transacts business, a partnership of two or more persons that is not recognized as a legal person distinct from the members composing it. A business unit or enterprise. So this is a business institution, organization, if you will. Okay? That is what you are marrying when you marry into a royal family. Okay? This is not like the cute little Disney movies or, you know, the whatever movies we see where, you know, it's just whatever we want it to be. Absolutely not. Okay? It's just not usually a very good transition. I'm not saying it's impossible. Obviously, Grace Kelly did it, and unfortunately, she passed away in a car crash, but she did it very well. Let's talk about black royals. Outside of the Duchess of Sussex, and I'm trying to speed up because I know we have a time frame, and I'm at like 46 minutes, and we got 60 total. So basically, the other black European princess, the only other one, is Angela of Liechtenstein. Okay, she is Princess Angela of Liechtenstein. She is Afro-Panamanian. Okay, so she's Afro-Latino, and she is married to, I forget his name, okay, but the Prince of Liechtenstein. And so that's the only other one. There are no other black royals in any European households, from the British Isles to Eurasia. Okay, so, and it's funny because they actually wore extremely similar wedding gowns. I think Angela and her husband got married in 99, I want to say. And of course, that was a couple decades before Meghan and Harry. Meghan could have done so much more with her role. Oh my gosh. As a senior royal, she could have done so much in that position. I know some racist, prejudiced people would have never cared. They probably would have had the same attitude toward her as crazy people have toward Donald Trump. Hashtag not my president. They could have said hashtag not my duchess, not my princess, whatever. Okay. But she could have done so much to prove them wrong, not even from a racial standpoint, but certainly from a racial standpoint, from a celebrity standpoint. Again, talking about that transition from Hollywood to Windsor, if you will, and then as an American, from those three different aspects, which are the three marks against her, if you will. She's black, she's a celebrity, she's an actress, and she is American. Okay? Those do not work in her favor, in her position, from a media standpoint, and then even from a mindset standpoint, okay? So I don't even want to go there. I kind of made a comment earlier about I don't think Meghan has really embraced her blackness. So as opposed to like Michelle and Barack Obama being the first black presidents, even though that's kind of arguable from certain viewpoints, like they knew we are the first, doggone it. We are the first black president and first lady this nation has ever seen. And they bore the burden of that. All politics aside, they bore the burden of that. They dealt with racism too. You know what I mean? I don't think Meghan identified with that at all. I really don't. Yes, it was nice to have some color in the royal wedding photos, especially when her mother showed up wearing that pretty green color, okay? But, I base this, I'm not being petty when I say this, and I know this alone is not an indicator, but when was the last time you saw Meghan wear her hair natural? Meghan doesn't wear her hair natural. She probably has some very pretty curls, albeit very tight, but very pretty curls, you know, but we don't know what her hair looks like these days, because it's always straight, okay? From a distance, if you didn't know better, you'd think she was white, okay? Both of her husbands, her ex-husband and her current husband, have been white. A lot of her friends are white. I personally don't see that Meghan identifies as a black woman. I think she's probably, pre-Trump anyway, would have identified as an American or a human being, but not as a black woman, which is problematic for me, I'm not going to lie. Even though the world did it for her, at the end of the day, if she's not looking at that position like, I am the most famous black royal in the world, she's not going to do with that position what she could have done, okay? I can assure you she's not looking at it from that standpoint, okay? Moving on. So yeah, she doesn't think like a royal. She doesn't think like a Brit, which is understandable that she wouldn't think like a Brit, but you know, it's paramount to survive, I feel, to think, to at least understand the rules. You know the saying, you have to understand the rules so you can break them. I don't think Meghan understands the rules. If she does, she does not care. Both of those is problematic for this situation. Because if you don't understand the rules or you don't care, you're not going to win the game. Period, point blank. Again, this is an institution spanning well over 1,100 years. You need to understand the game. You need to, as I said in episode 2, count up the cost. I don't care if you're not marrying royalty. You could be marrying a pastor, a preacher, a doctor, a lawyer, a cop, a soldier, an entrepreneur, a stay-at-home dad, whatever. I don't care who you're marrying. You need to count up the cost of not just that person, but that family. And not just that family, but what is your spouse's career, husband or wife? You know, male or female fiance. The person that you're marrying, what is their life? What is their status? Is your economic status shifting when you marry this person? Like, you need to understand everything that goes into that as best as you can. Obviously, there are some things you will never be prepared for. Again, citing Meghan's statement to the press, you know, I didn't think it would be easy, but I thought it would be fair. I get that. I do. And yet, in so much as you are able, it's incumbent upon you to prepare for what you are marrying into. Forget marriage. If you are going into a career, and this is a career shift. Her shift was supposed to be from acting to being a senior royal, because a senior royal is a career, as we stated at the front of this particular bonus episode, okay? So you need to be properly prepared. You don't just show up and arrive at your career. You have to prepare for that career path if you expect to do well in that career path. You just can't show up and say, I'm me and I'm wonderful, and think that you're going to succeed. Because people like you? No, that's not how this works. It's like that commercial. That's not how any of this works. So, final thoughts, okay? Let me say this. Royalty is not something you just try on or try out to see if it suits you, okay? Marriage and I'm not saying anything about their marriage, but I'm just saying in general, marriage is not something you just do because it looks nice. It looks pretty. And not when you're marrying someone in a very serious economic, political, socioeconomic, ministerial position. Like, you don't just waltz into that kind of marriage. I don't care how much you love them. I don't care how much you want to spend your life with them. And this is why people, I'm speaking generally now, I'm not speaking about Harry and Meghan, this is why people wind up having divorces. Because you got in the car was nice, you're riding together, you didn't necessarily know where you were going, or you didn't know where God ordained you to go. You didn't know what your destiny was. You didn't know what your purpose was. So you got in the car with this person who seems really nice and really cute and really funny, and you have really great chemistry, and you realize halfway through the road trip, oh, crap, we're not going to the same place. Oh, crap, you know, maybe you weren't the best road trip partner. And then people wind up divorced or very unhappy. Okay, so what are my final thoughts? To be honest, if you couldn't tell, I think this move is very disrespectful. I think it's disrespectful to the Queen. I think it's breaking her heart. I think it's disrespectful to Harry's father, who walked Meghan down the aisle because her own father couldn't make it, which I thought was the sweetest thing in the world, that he would just so readily offer. And here's another point that I actually didn't mention, okay? A lot of people are blaming officially or unofficially the Queen for a lot of this and just the royal family. Let me tell you, okay? Whatever thoughts that the Queen had regarding Princess Di back in the day, she did not cause Princess Diana's death, let me say that to be clear. Like, that's, I feel like that's just completely ridiculous to even say that, okay? The paparazzi caused her death. I'm not saying she was a fan of Diana, not saying that, okay? But I think the Queen learned the hard way through watching Diana's life, Diana's divorce, and Diana's death, and then the aftermath thereof, to not stand in the way of true love, okay? And that's, you know, she was a lot more chill by the time Charles and Camilla actually got married. And Camilla, of course, was the third person in Charles and Diana's marriage, so to speak. He was frequently, just the whole time, cheating, you know, on Diana with Camilla. And, of course, Camilla was cheating the whole time on her husband, too, Andrew Parker Bowles, okay? So this is disrespectful, but I feel like the Queen learned, you know, just, like, pick your battles, okay? It may not have been the person that I'd chosen for whatever reason, but you know what? It makes my son happy. You know what? It makes my grandson happy. So you know what, Meghan? Welcome to the family. I think it's extremely disrespectful to her, to his parents. Well, I'll say to, who cares about Camilla in this context? To his father, to his brother. It's very hurtful. I think it's very hurtful to them. I think it's selfish. I think it's self-absorbed. I think it's very tunnel vision-esque of them. I think they're just focusing on just the three of them. But, and I understand that there's a time and a place for that in marriage. I do. But I also understand that you need to be mindful of what you are marrying when you marry into it. And I am afraid that Harry is going to wake up one day and have 20/20 hindsight, and that there are going to be some things that he very deeply regrets, some decisions he very deeply regrets making one day. You know, one of the questions I have is Prince Archie going to be estranged from his cousins? He doesn't have any cousins, as far as we know, on his mother's side. Is he going to be estranged from Prince George, Princess Charlotte, and Prince Louis, and any other babies they have? That's heartbreaking, because that's not how Harry and Will grew up. They didn't grow up estranged from each other. They didn't grow up estranged from their cousins. They're very close to their Aunt Anne's kids, Peter Phillips and Zara Phillips. They're very close to Beatrice and Eugenie, their Uncle Andrew's kids, you know. But there's that closeness there. So it's like Archie's not really going to have that realistically if he's living tri-continentally. Okay, so in closing, even though this was not an official episode, this was a bonus episode to give you some background. And you guys are welcome to provide feedback. I want to say thank you for listening. I want to invite you to connect with me on Facebook, Instagram, and Periscope. That is at Desiree M. Mondesir. Subscribe to my website, DesireeMMondesir.com. Follow me on Twitter, Desiree Mondesir, no middle initial. Okay, contact me. Let me know your thoughts about this. Let me know your thoughts about episode 2 and, of course, 3 when that comes out next week. Share this on your timeline. Let somebody know if they want a rundown. Desiree's going to give you the rundown. Whether you agree or not is your prerogative. That's up to you. But you can hear the rundown in her perspective if you like here. And then, of course, visit my bookstore. I don't have any subjects on this that I've written in my bookstore, but you can definitely go there. And you can find a lot of my books on Amazon too, but some of them are strictly PDF form. My last 2 books are PDF form. But y'all be blessed, and I will be back next week for part 2, episode 3 of Harry, Meghan, Megxit, and Marriage. Be blessed.